Let me start by saying that one of the first issues that Trans-Africa focused on was the liberation in Zimbabwe, when at that time the President Carter was trying to lift the sanctions on Rhodesia, and Trans-Africa pushed out a lot to make sure those sanctions stayed in place until the white minority government of Rhodesia really negotiated in good faith with the liberation movement. Now, in a way, the Western world was not as sympathetic to the liberation movements of Southern Africa. It was really the people, whether it's in the United States or in the UK or wherever in the West, that pushed the government to change and support the liberation movement. They went there kicking and screaming. Because for a long time, even though unilateral declaration of independence by Ian Smith started in 65, but the West really didn't do as much or look the other way. And then, of course, in South Africa, they've embraced apartheid totally.
Right.
It took really organizations such as ourselves, Trans-Africa, and others, supportive of the constituencies.
But when it comes to Zimbabwe, that was a different scenario, was it not?
Kind of, because we have to be careful. Because remember, there was we have the Lancaster Arms Agreement in 79. But before that, remember, there was also this government that was put in place with Bishop Muzorewa.
Right, Muzorewa, of course, yes. That. Bishop Muzorewa, the late Bishop Muzorewa.
The movement when they called it Zimbabwe Rhodesia at that time.
Absolutely, yes.
And the West had no choice but to deal with the ZANU, because countries within Southern Africa, Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia said, no way, you got to deal with these groups. So it wasn't quite that they had a total blessings per se. And then they embraced Mugabe out of convenience. And then, yes, he was the darling of the West for the 10 years because he embraced IMF policies, World Bank policies, and didn't touch the land issue because under the Lancaster House Agreement, they were not allowed to deal with that issue after 10 years of independence. Yeah.
So, obviously, everything changed after 2000. As you mentioned, the land reform program, etc. President Mugabe has won both praise and criticism for his position on the West. At this point, is this a fragile place to be in terms of the incoming party and how people perceive your relationship with the West?
I think so. This is Ani. I think that it is important because practically all the African countries, and especially in Southern Africa, understood the point about fighting off the colonialists. Okay? So I imagine that Zimbabweans, who may not even care that much for Mr. Mugabe, understood the language that playing footsie with the former colonialists, trying to bring them back in, would be a bad idea. So it didn't surprise me that MDC didn't do well. I'm not saying that perhaps that image painted of them may not have been true, but it is a very powerful image. It would be good for his successor to sort of rationalize the relationship with the West. Cooperate, but don't be seen as being in the pocket of the former colonialists.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mentali, the vice president, or maybe by the time this story airs, it should be the former vice president. I'm not sure. But obviously, President Mugabe and a lot of the others accusing her working with the West. Is President Mugabe's anti-Western message resonating so strongly to the point where that could hurt her in terms of her bid for the presidency, if it ever comes to that?
Yeah, it would hurt her immensely. I mean, it seems to be not just that, but there have been other stories related to her in the last 2 months which have sort of gotten brought this to a head. One of the problems that the opposition, MDC, had is that they consistently kept saying they have to talk to people in Washington, which made them seem to be not a Zimbabwean organization, but a foreign organization. Even if they had credible reasons to oppose, it would look like they were taking marching orders, that they were only in opposition to do the bidding of Washington or London. And that's a big, big problem, especially in the context of Zimbabwe's liberation struggle against the colonization, as Neil was talking about. And that's a very, 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 still a very deep, deep issue, especially when you're also talking about land. People may disagree in the manner of which it was taken, but people actually would accuse Mugabe himself of being too slow at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So yes, groups who are vying for the leadership have to be extremely careful not to be seen as an agent for what some people would call neocolonialism.
Mr. Okwete, I want to get your thoughts on this. Why does the West seem to be such a dirty word, or a relationship with the West seem to be such an unpalatable relationship, when at the end of the day, you realize that even Zimbabwe is pushing for re-engagement somehow, and then you see countries like Tanzania, Ghana, South Africa actually benefiting pretty well from Western countries?
I think part of the answer is style. That goes to the point you are making, that the economic ties with the West are still important, and relationships, which is why all the invited African leaders came here, few sent their vice, But there was no big boycott because they understood the point that you are making, your counterpoint, which is that relationship with these guys are still important.